sufficiently for the case to be placed on the roll. The court could not place the case on the roll pending the finalization of the investigation. And as a result, when the 48 hours left, they had to release the suspect. But the suspect was identified by another witness in another case of attempted murder on homeless, was arrested again on that case. And the first case was also placed on the road by the court. The suspect was taken through court. Bail was successfully defended. And as we speak, the suspect is in custody. There's an exercise at the present moment which is at an advanced stage of linking, it's subject to analysis, to link the suspect to the murder. So that analysis is still carrying on. If it goes well, it might happen that we get positive links and we might then need be treated as a serial killer to them. But at the present moment, that exercise is not yet finalized. We cannot say cut and dry, it's linked to all the murders. So that exercise is still carrying on. Then, Honorable Chair, what is the status regarding the non-statutory force members? Firstly, the project for non-statutory forces is still part of the transformation plan of SAPS. And there was an implementation plan. By the time the matter was taken to court, the organization was ready for implementation because we already even had some deadlines. So then the court interdicted SAPS from proceeding with the implementation. At the present moment, we haven't reached an outcome stage of the court, but the implementation plan from SAS is ready. And then beyond the court, the organization will have direction as to the continuation of the implementation. What is the status, or what are the measures implemented to improve the morale of personnel? I think firstly, I will start from the value statement of the turnaround vision. From the value statement of the turnaround vision, one of the buzz terms is that the organization is performance driven. And then we acknowledge and we reward and we celebrate that is performance. And then underneath that, the organization develop a reward strategy for the members. One of the key dimensions in the reward strategy is the excellence award. Each and every year, we hold excellence awards where all members participate and they get awarded. And the ceremony of the Excellence Award is actually convened. It starts from each province, then it builds up to national. By virtue of directives within the organization, we said no matter how small members are doing, they need to be acknowledged, either in writing or otherwise, what they are doing, including their circumstances. Then we also have a third dimension of the reward strategy, and that we call monetary and non-monetary awards. The monetary and non-monetary award, at any given stage, if a member has achieved a great success, can apply to the committee that looks into that. Either the member is given, I'm sure it's a gold certificate, platinum, and bronze. Then there's also, that is the non-monetary part, but there's also the monetary part. The maximum is 30,000, which they can apply up to. Then secondly, there's a promotion process which is under review at the present moment, where we're looking into a new type of a model that should be used to acknowledge and motivate members. Lastly, part of the motivation is to give members the tools of trade and give them the right training, the required training for that particular field. And as National Commissioner, I'm also then moving around the country on a vision roadshow where we make sure that they all share the vision and they understand. This is what is it up to this far. What will happen if the 7,000 annual enlistment target is not achieved and how it will impact on the 52,000? I think I wanted to explain the two methods of policy. One is basic policy, which is 24-hour sustainable policy. And then the second one is operational policy, which is high density deployment approach based on targeted geographical areas. If we achieve the 62,000 and by adopting or following the 7,000, we are trying to move away from operational policy into basic policy, because if it is achieved, we'll be able to do basic policy in the country. I also need to say upfront, the operational policing method is extremely expensive. It's an expensive method of policy. Because an example like Operation Thunder, I'm sure it costs us plus minus 5 million per month. Or is it 2 million? So, I'm sorry? Yeah, it's between 6 and 9 million, that is per month. But if it could have been basic policing, then we call it the cost-effective policing method. And that's where we want to move. Now, if we do not achieve the 52,000, or we go somewhere where we can no longer afford the 7,000, then it means operational policing is going to continue. Because as up to now, the dominant method, which is implemented at plus minus 80%, is operational policy. But we have to phase it out with basic policy. But therefore, I will not say that policing will crumble. I only say operational policing will continue, but it's got challenges. And we want to replace it with the basic policy. Then, further clarification on the firearm losses and the review of the target. We agree with the committee. I think we want this target at zero. And what we first wanted to explain, General Masemula yesterday explained that the recovery on the lost firearms was 7,000. And then of the 7,000, 300 were found to be police firearms. Now, which means in one financial year, we were able to recover 300 of the 800, which is 40%. Yes, and then it means if we could go up to this higher percentage, then it is doable. to a large extent. And of the 6,000, there are firearms where the numbers were filed off. So there could be more that belong to the police. But this is an achievement of one financially. Therefore, I think we are reviewing that is the target and the approach, because we understand the implications. If the public would say, if the firearms lost in the hands of police to the criminals, then I think we are not safe. So we are also trying to win the confidence of the public and also reduce the level of fear. Then further clarification on the utilization of intelligence to address drug-related crimes. I think firstly, I wanted to explain a principle to the committee that the response to crime in terms of the ATP is as per program. Like, for instance, a more detailed response as to the how will be in program 4, where we will be giving you a full-blown picture of intelligence. But for now, we have got a process where we generate transnational intelligence exercises for drugs that are coming outside the country into the country. One of the examples of that intervention, we're also dealing with it yesterday, where there's a heroin corridor from Zambia via Mozambique up to South Africa. Then within the country, we've got a NICOC exercise where there's a combination of all the intelligence families in the country together with SAPS. And they are the ones that are dealing with both tactical and strategic intelligence, supporting the drug master plan. And then we also have a sub-departmental drug master plan. Then at a local level, we also have the local drug action plan. And then to enhance this response, I think I have also issued a directive with regard to the restoration or the revival of intelligence at police stations. At police stations, we have a function that we call a CIO function. At some stage, this function was removed, but I requested that it be reinstated. Actually, I did that last year. So that function is then back to deal with tactical intelligence at the level of the police stations, because we want the police stations to be self-sufficient. More details then at that program. Then confirmation of the use of the domestic violence register. What is in place is that there are weekly inspections into the domestic violence register by officers at the level of the police station. Yes, the use of the domestic violence register does take place, but I can only say above 95%. I cannot say 100%, because even the inspectors themselves, they find areas of shortcomings. Firstly, they follow the reprimand approach, which is consequential management. It's a deliberate non-utilization. Two, they identify areas of development, which members or police station need to be trained in what, so that we defer to that is HRP. Then this is a continuous exercise where we actually force them to use that is the domestic violence register. So that is the status at the moment. The last question is on the breakdown of the SAPS-related corruption and criminal departmental investigation. This particular breakdown shall be dealt with more in progress, in program 3. And the information, part of the information that we do not have, we obviously going to ask the committee to give us an opportunity so that we submit it by means of a report, if there's further information that the committee wants. Finally, Chair, I also wanted to make a plea to the committee in terms of understanding and asking them to bear with us. One, the type of a plan that we are presenting, the APT, is a plan which is rolling on the strategic plan. And the strategic plan addresses long-term priorities, which means it's strategic priorities. Now, the APT is rolling the execution of the strategic priorities. Now, below the APT, we still have a plan that we refer to as the AOP, the operational plan, which is where the operational business takes place. And underneath it, we then have the action plans in terms of the various environments. Now, when honorable members ask for a detail, an operational detail, it will obviously not be in this plan. It's lying in the other plans. But I also understand if a question comes burning and based on a practical situation, honorable members will be forced to ask the question. But what I would suggest is that maybe at another stage we might need to be given an opportunity, like for instance to present the AOP, which is the annual operational plan, and part of the operational detail. But once we do that, we're going to ask the committee for a closed session, because part of the information is tactical in nature, and the criminal is actually they're waiting to hear what are we telling the committee. Yes, and therefore we may make them aware of some of the new strategies. And once that happens, they're going to change the modus operandi. So that is just the request that which I'm making. But I'm sure if we have the opportunity to give the committee a full score of the operational interventions, one maybe under a closed session, then I think moving forward, the committee will be having that particular information. That's my point, Honorable Chair. If there's any other questions that we might have omitted, it will be by mistake, but we can always correct it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General, to you and your team. A number of the responses which you gave also apply to the Program 2 and Program 3, Visible Policing and Detective Services, which we are going to do today. And you've also even responded to Crime Intelligence Program 4 and 5. So I just ask the members that you bear that in mind so that we don't repeat those questions today, because you have given us very thorough responses and I appreciate that. But it will actually shorten the type of responses you need to give today. So I'm very happy that we started clarifying certain matters. I then hand over to you, National Police Commissioner General Pretoria, to prepare your presentation. Oh, sorry,
thank you, Chair. I would want to really plead with the members that we follow the advice by the National Commissioner. that whether we don't go into operational setups and that are available at any time, even if you want to call them to come and present. And he has advised that there are others that need close sessions. So for now, I think that allow them to present and not go into more operational matters.
Agreed. Thank you, Chair. Mine is a question, I don't know if it is relevant for now, but I really need to read it. One question that I wanted to ask yesterday and I could not.
Honourable Member, if there were questions you still wanted to ask yesterday, could we allow them to do the presentation and then there will be another round of questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. The program we presented on today is Program 2. In actual fact, this program takes almost 50% of policy. It's a very wide program. And I also want to put up front matters where we will need support from the committee in terms of this program. It's based on the basic policy model. We have three dimensions that we're dealing with in the basic policy model. One of them is strategic policy. Under strategic policy, that's where we say the police cannot fight crime alone. We need the integrated approach and multidisciplinary collaboration, which means we need a cooperation of the other government departments to come and play in a role. That's the program where we do root cause analysis. And the out of root cause analysis, if a particular discipline does not remove certain root causes, then crime will continue to take place. Like for instance, criminals use now root causes opportunities to invent a new modus operandi. Now it means until you remove the root cause, the modus operandi will continue to sustain. And as police, you will chase the crime, but the modus operandi will continue. So I think we then need the cooperation of other departments in order for us to try and operationalize strategic policing. I also want to say up front, we've got community policing strategy, which mobilizes community. Then we've got youth crime prevention strategy, which mobilizes young people, freeing them from being perpetrators and victims, that is of crime. Then we've got the traditional policing concept, which mobilizes all traditional leaders, especially the moral generation and other programs. Then we even came up with another strategy to mobilize the spiritual environment, which is all the spiritual crime prevention, that is the environment. So if we can get that support, because from stabilization, when we talk normalization, then we talk massive community mobilization. Then we've got the other dimension on innovative policy. There we do modus operandi analysis. In future, we might be able to tell the committee or give the committee a report on what is the new methods applied by criminals and where are they directed, what damage they would cause. Then we came up with a modus operandi counter strategy, because previously we've been chasing crime and not destroying the method. But at the present moment, we want to destroy both the method as well as the crime, because the method continues to generate the crime. For that, we've established a modus operandi center. It's functional as we speak, but it started not long ago. Then we also mobilize the academy, the researchers in that particular dimension under the concept fusion center. Then obviously the basics, the back to basics, that's where we do combat. We take the criminal head on, and that's where we stand the authority of the state. But we just need that support, even from the honorable members themselves, where they can participate in their capacity as community members. We would appreciate that. Our presentation, Honorable Chair, shall be led by Major General Leon Rabi. With your permission, I can hand over to you. Thank you.
Honourable Chair and members of the committee, good morning. And thank you for the opportunity to do the presentation. Honourable Chair, I, in addition to what the National Commissioner already said on the planning processes in SAPS, we have a graphic representation of what the National Commissioner said. I hope, given what happened yesterday, it will be better, but it's not really better in terms of the display. So what we will do, ma'am, with your permission, is we will make this graph just available to the committee members after the presentation, after the meeting today. What we just would like to highlight here is that the planning processes in SAPS, whether it...
Honourable Member we indicated earlier that it's not working really. Could we just... Honourable Member, they say now that it will only be fixed by Friday. My apologies. Hopefully we'll also be able to follow the hard copy. Are we happy?
Yes.
Thank you.
If we look at the strategic planning and annual planning of the South African Police Service and what provides direction to what we plan and what we include in our planning processes, on top there, it refers to the regulatory requirement. As a department, we have to take consideration of the inputs from government in terms of what the priorities are and what is included in government's medium-term strategic framework, as well as the National Development Plan, and then also, of course, the inputs by the Portfolio Committee on Police. Now, this needs to be considered and analyzed on a yearly or annual basis, but also every MTSF, the South African Police Service, is required to develop and implement a strategic plan. Now, that is, as I indicated, informed by the strategic direction of government. At this point in time, ma'am, I think what is critical is this year was, to a certain extent, abnormal relevant to the previous years because they delayed the submission of our APPs. And where we are currently today, we do not have a final medium-term strategic framework for government that is developed by DPME. They are currently consulting the relevant departments, and we have been provided a month to give input in those priorities that has been identified for our department. Now, the priorities in the MTSF for broader government is currently being informed by the National Development Plan and the commitments that are made in the National Development Plan. So once we, as the South African Police Service, have considered those strategic directions, what comes from the SONA, what comes from the minister, what comes from this committee.
Sorry for the interruption. This part of the presentation is not with us.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll make copies of this. My apologies because we don't have this part of the presentation. You'll make copies of it for us and distribute it.
We will do that.
Thank you.
As far as the hierarchy of plans in the organization is concerned, is as the National Commissioner indicated, on top we have a strategic plan for the SAPS that stretches over the MTSF. And that strategic plan is supported by strategies and high-level plans in the organization, of which the National Commissioner has highlighted a number of them. And as the National Commissioner indicated, that is also where you will find the specific commitments and detail associated with priorities identified in the plans. Then we have the annual performance plan, where we as a department are required in terms of parliamentary requirements to table our APP, highlighting, you know, the key areas that we're going to focus on, and more critically, our spending focus, as well as the areas that we're going to specifically report to the PDOs, the predetermined objective tables. Those are the indicators and our targets itself. Then on business unit level, we have the detailed annual operational plans. That's where you will find exactly what needs to be done, the time frames and the responsibilities. And ma'am, what is also important is this then flows into the individual agreements of managers and members within the South African Police Service. So the priorities, as it starts from the top, is unpacked in more detail the lower we go in the planning hierarchy, and where it then ultimately ends up into an individual agreement where we as individuals then need to account on the achievement of specific details. And that was just a brief rundown of the, but as we indicated, this was just an initiative early this morning to brief you. We will make that specific slide available to the committee. Then as far as the program two is concerned, get that up and running. Program 2, as the National Commissioner indicated, specifically focus on visible policing and associated programs. It is, it will then be followed by Program 3. Also today we will touch on the detective service environment. Program 2, as I indicated, is focusing on discouraging crimes by providing a proactive and responsive policing service that will reduce the levels of priority crime. And the first slide on slide 91 includes the expenditure estimate that is associated with Program 2. And with your permission, I will just hand over to the CFO for this specific slide.
Good morning, Honourable and Honourable Member. The presentation will start on expenditure estimates for Program 2. Program 2 is divided into four sub-programs in terms of funding, and its purpose is to enable police stations to institute and preserve safety and security, provide for specialized interventions and the policing of South African borders. For 2019-20, crime prevention, we have allocated 39.048 billion. For border security, we have allocated 2.183 billion. For specialized interventions, there was an allocation of 4.374 billion. And facilities, there is an allocation of 4.307 billion. The total allocation for this program is 49.912 billion, which is an increase of 6.5 as compared to 2018-19. Included in the sub-program crime prevention is crime prevention with an allocation of 33.3 billion, rail police with 1.197 billion, K9 units with 918 million, mounted police with 160 million, youth, children and gender-based violence with an allocation of 45 million, flying squad with an allocation of 1.255 billion, allocation for detained persons at 253 million, and then for border security, which includes port of entry, there is an allocation of 2.183 billion. Specialized intervention, which includes special task force, there is an allocation of 94 million. National intervention unit with an allocation of 373 million. Technical response teams with an allocation of 391 million, and public order policing with an allocation of 2.504 billion. There is allocation of facilities, which is to provide for municipal services under this program, with an allocation of 1.231 billion, leases with an allocation of 1.596 billion, and accommodation charges of 1.480 billion. Thank you, Chair.
So going into the specific performance areas that has been identified in Program 2, Visible Policing, we will first start with the sub-program Crime Prevention. focusing on the indicators that has been included in the performance tables of the South African Police Service, and what we will then report on a quarterly and annual basis to the Portfolio Committee, as well as other oversight bodies. The first indicator relates to the revitalizing of strategic partnerships. As the National Commissioner indicated, the role of communities and entities within the business sphere, we need to optimize their involvement in the prevention of crime. And the target has been set that the South African Police Service will identify and sign memorandums of agreement with the entities, including in the current financial year, your business at Achio, Boxer, as well as the CGC OSA. Now, over the medium term, the South African Police Service will establish and sustain these partnerships with a broad range of stakeholders, informed by the key elements of our strategic direction. And currently, we are testing the performance indicator in the current financial year, with the intention that once we've confirmed that we have all the relevant and required performance information available, that we include it from the next financial year as part of our performance targets. Then, as far as crimes are concerned, we as South African Police Service are reporting on different categories of crime. Later in the presentation, Chair, I will brief the committee on the fact that we primarily report on the 70 community-reported crimes. Now, we generally refer to that as the serious crimes, the total category of serious crime, and that is then broken down into subcategories: contact crime, contact-related crime, property-related crime, and other serious crime. The category that has been specifically highlighted by both the President and the Minister where concerns lie is within the contact crime or violence crime category, where they've identified specific commitments that we need to achieve over the medium term. Now, included in that, as part of the crimes against, the violent crime or contact crime, are the categories of crimes against women and crimes against children. Now, from a reporting perspective, what we do is the crimes against women and children, we specifically focus on reporting on crimes that are of a violent nature. Now, previously, Chair, we had set specific targets in terms of reducing crimes against women and children, and we regularly then reported to the Portfolio Committee on progress that we've made. Now, during our last engagements with the previous committee, we highlighted that we've identified a possible problem in the sense that two of the indicators might be contradicting. Now, if I explain that, what we have on the one side is a commitment to address the reporting of crime through awareness campaigns and, you know, going to communities and informing them and asking them, you know, to report incidents, etc. Now, that might have an impact on the actual reporting of crime, creating a sense of there's an increase in the reported crime. So, and at the same time, we are also committing to reduce the crimes that are associated, we specifically look at women and children. So for that reason, Honourable Chair, the decision was that we continue reporting on it in terms of the trends in the annual performance plan of the South African Police Service, and still focusing on the reducing incidents of crime, but report on it as a statistical indicator for the purpose of not having contradicting indicators in the plan, where on the one side you want to encourage reporting and on the other side you want to reduce incidents of crime. So the previous target that was set was, when we look at crimes against women and children, and I will get to the detail a little bit later on, and also when we soon report on the performance, was to reduce crimes against children with women with 11.9% and then crimes against children with 5.57%. Then the third indicator and focus area, Honourable Chair, relates to drug-related crime. Now, the South African Police Service in the past has set targets to increase the identification of drug-related crime. Now, one of the aspects that had an impact on our efforts to address drug-related crime and also to report on that was that recently there was a court outcome where it is indicated that relates to the use of cannabis or dagga. Now, as a result of that, and given the fact that a big portion of our drug-related crime was dagga-related, we suddenly saw a significant drop in the reported figures because we could no longer arrest those persons for the type of crimes that was identified in the court decision. So, as the South African Police Service, we will still report on the dealing in drugs, but the intention is that we need to establish a new baseline going forward, given the fact that in the
person, thank you. Can I just make a request? You know, it's impossible to see from here, and we like to follow on, you know, the copy that we have. Can we just ask that, you know, when we move to a different slide, that, you know, we just know where we are, because, you know, it's difficult to follow. Thank you.
I will do that. We are currently on slide number 94. So at the bottom of slide number 94, as far as the illegal or unlawful possession of drugs and dealing in drugs is concerned, we will include it as a statistical indicator, ma'am, with the intention to determine a new baseline, given the decision or the court outcomes that influenced the statistics that relates to the possession and dealing in drugs. And I would say then also for purposes of reporting, we will continue as statistical indicators to report to the committee the actual quantities that is seized in terms of cannabis, cocaine. Now, when we refer to cannabis in this context, it relates to what is considered still to be illegal in terms of the cannabis-related crimes. We will continue reporting on the seizures, on the recovery of cocaine, crystal meth, heroin, and mandrax. But as I indicated, this is a statistical indicator, meaning that we will report the actual numbers associated with the detail of the different drug categories. In the past, what proved to be problematic is we tried to set targets for the different categories of drugs. But what we found is that in a specific year, you will have a major drug seizure, like what recently happened in Limpopo at a border post, and you see significant numbers of drugs, and then you have to set a target that is now suddenly higher than that. And this is influenced by the availability of drugs outside, and we cannot provide the assurance to any oversight body that in this coming financial year that we will have a similar seizure of that nature. It will be guided by what we target in terms of our operation and the quantities that we're going to seize. That was slide 95. So then now moving to slide number 96. The implementation of sector policing has been prioritized over not only the current MTSF, but also the previous MTSF. And as far as the implementation of sector policing is concerned, the South African Police Service has reached a certain level of maturity where we've actually implemented already 3 years ago sector policing at all the stations that has been identified. And we, as the South African Police Service, the intention is then to continue reporting to the oversight bodies on this number or the percentage of stations where we've implemented sector policing. So you will note that we are targeting approximately 875 police stations where we will implement sector policing. And the intention is that 875 represents 95 represents the stations that we want to implement sector policing, and we want to make sure with the MTSF that we maintain 95% of those identified police stations. Honourable Chair, then we are moving to now on slide 97. We are firstly moving to the strategic indicators. Now, this is the high-level indicators, as I explained yesterday, that are included in the strategic plan of the South African Police Service. Now, the first category is relating to reported serious crime. Chair, without, before I continue with the detail on crime, the South African Police Service, we are currently in a, we are actually required to print and table an addendum to our APP because we will have to review certain targets based on the direction that we got now that the National Commissioner just highlighted. For example, Chair, I've mentioned the fact that we are currently giving input into government's MTSF, and within the MTSF, they've also identified certain commitments for the SAPs, but we have 30 days to respond to that. So that might have an impact on some of the targets that we've indicated here. So the intention is that we will review the targets and then publish it in an addendum. An example, Chair, is the commitment by the President that we reduce contact or violent crime by 50% over a 10-year period. And you will note that when I get to that specific indicator, we were working on a 2% reduction per annum, but given the new direction that we receive now, we have to consider, you know, the input that was provided by the President, and consequently we will have to increase that target to 6.7% annual reduction. Now, further to that, our minister also gave certain directives on the same category of crime that we will have to include in our lower, in our annual operational plan of the South African Police Service. So, Madam Chair, just on that, the confirmation that we will have to submit a addendum to some of the thoughts indicating the changes of some of the targets. Now, what we currently have, in terms of the broader category of serious crime, we commit to a 2% per reduction per annum. Now, the National Commissioner's directive is that this 2% commitment that is reflected here will only be applicable until the end of July in the current financial year. We will then submit the addendum indicating the new targets as we have calculated them based on the inputs that we receive. As I said, the State of the Nation address indicated a 50% reduction. Now, although the State of the Nation address only speaks to violent crime, just keep in mind that violent crime is a subcategory of serious crime. So if you change the target associated with violent crime, it's definitely going to impact on your overall category. So that will then have an impact on the target associated with serious crime, and most likely it will no longer be a 2% annual reduction, but increased according to the calculations. Actually, the next commitment is the percentage of police stations where we have functional CPFs according to the guidelines that has been implemented by the South African Police Service. In the past, our target was 99% of police stations must have functional CPFs. At the time, in the previous financial year, we were working on 1143 police stations. If I'm correct, we are now close to 1,150 police stations. I just need to correct that figure, or check on the figure. But what it means, Honourable Chair, is there are a couple of police stations where we cannot implement community policing forums because they are areas, including, I think, one of the examples is Woodsup, that is very sparsely populated. And you will have the area actually consists of a number of very big farms and a very low population. So for the South African Police Service, it's very problematic to implement and to get up and running functional CPFs at all the time. But that does not mean, it's 1151 current police stations. That does not mean that they are excluded, for instance, from the rural safety strategies and other interventions that has been identified by SAPS, and then also linking to the requirements associated with the strategies. So our target is to ensure 99% of the identified police stations that's now standing at 1151 to have fully functional CPFs. So then moving to the annual specific annual targets that relates to program 2, the visible policing portion. The first category that we will report on is contact crime. Now, the president referred to in the SONA as violent crime. Now, contact and violent crime is the same category. The targets that we set was to reduce it by 2% over the medium term, but as I indicated, we will now have to reconsider that target and align it with the direction that is set in terms of the SONA, and it will then be published in our addendum. The direction that was provided by the National Commissioner in terms of the applicability of the targets, the same applies here. This will be valid and it will be changed at the end of July. It will be valid until the end of July. Contact-related crime, I keep on forgetting, that's slide 99. As far as contact crime is concerned, just for the purpose of the committee, we will have more detailed presentation on crime. Contact crime includes murder, assault, your sexual offences, your attempted murder, those type of crimes against the person. When we look at contact-related crime, that is the second category, it includes two types of crime. It's arson and malicious damage to property. And there we also have a target of the reduction of 2% over the medium term. The third category is the number of property-related crime. Now, property-related crime includes your house breakings, your theft of motor vehicle, those type of crimes. And you see the numbers as it is reflected here, approximately 500,000 cases reported per annum. And the target set by the South African Police Service is to reduce that with 2% per annum. Now, just to reflect on the numbers that I've already run through on that specific slide, Honourable Chair, when we look at contact crime or violent crime, it's around about 550,000 cases or incidents that are reported per annum. The total serious crime, not all the serious crime that SAPS reports onto the oversight bodies amounts to approximately 1.4 million incidents per annum. So it's quite a significant number, of which, as I said, 500,000 relates to contact or violent crime. And the intention is then to review the targets that are stated there. Contact-related is lower. It's around about 120,000. Our target too was also to reduce that with 2% with the figures as indicated. And it's quite low, and it only includes two crimes. It's only arson and malicious damage to property. And then I indicated your property-related crime is approximately 500,000, and the target is to reduce it to 487,000 in the first year of the medium term. On slide 100, the other serious crime, this includes fraud, general theft, you know, the theft that is not mentioned elsewhere. And here we are also talking to approximately 400,000 incidents per annum. Our target is also to reduce that with 2% to 414,000 in the first year of the medium term, and year-on-year 2% reductions as it is indicated there. So then a new performance indicator. Up to now, in terms of reporting to the portfolio committee and other oversight bodies, we have just been reporting on, you know, the main category and then the subcategories of crime. We have now introduced new indicators that talks to the 30 high crime weight stations that has been identified to, you know, give the committee a sense of what progress or impact we are making on crime levels at those high crime weight stations. Now, the target that we set in terms of the total categories of crime is the 2% reduction at these police stations. And Chair and the members of the committee will note that in, if you look at the city's high crime stations, the numbers that they contribute to the total crime is actually quite high. So the intention is that if by focusing on this city high crime stations and you know putting effort into addressing the high levels of crime at those stations, we can make significant impact on crime levels in general. So there's a 2% reduction that we've identified, Honourable Chair, but that might also be influenced by the directive that we got to increase the percentage reduction associated with violent crimes. We are also going to focus on the subcategories, and if you look at the 30 high crime stations, we the target that is applicable there in terms of contact crime in the last portion of the slide is also to reduce it with 2%. This will definitely be affected by the direction that we got from the minister and from the president. Just for interest sake, ma'am, you will note that if I just jump back to the previous slide, if we're talking about contact crime, if we look at the estimated performance for 2018-19, it's 556,000. Now, and the target is to reduce that to 545,000. Now, if you only look at the high crime stations, those 30 stations contribute approximately 70,000 of the, you know, the cases that has been reported in that specific category. So the contribution, and this is why these stations are specifically targeted. They were identified on the basis of, you know, the contribution that they, as individual stations, make to the overall number of crimes that has been reported to the South African Police Service. The contact crime stations, there was a question yesterday, the high crime wage stations, there was a request yesterday, which stations are we talking about? I will just run through the list. There are 30 police stations in the country that has been identified in the beginning of the financial year as high crime wage stations. It is important to note, Honourable Chair, that as we progress in the current financial year, this list will be reviewed on a regular basis, because as you know, crime changes, the reporting can change. That means that the list might fluctuate over the year or over the reporting period. It might even happen that specifically stations at the bottom of the list will soon start dropping out of the city to high crime stations, and as we implement actions to address the high crime levels at these stations. The stations that are in...
Sorry, just an interruption. Honourable Member, because the counters, there's no more than generals are calling the trading on dangerous ground. If we accept the challenge, we'll increase the population of the Northern Cape.
Honourable Chair, if we look at the provinces, unfortunately, that are represented in the top 30, it's primarily Gauteng, the Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Mpumalanga, and yeah, those are the stations that are included in the list. But as I indicated, this is reviewed on a regular basis, and even taking into account the number of stations that have been prioritized in Gauteng province, that list has already been reviewed, and there's an increase in the number of stations that has been included, and I believe the National Commissioner, when he talks about it, will give more detail on that. But the stations that are listed from 1 to 30 includes Johannesburg Central, Nyanga, Hillbrow in Gauteng, Mitchell's Plain in the Western Cape, Khayelitsha in the Western Cape, Dobsonville in Gauteng, Delft in the Western Cape, Umlazi in KZN, Ivory Park in Gauteng, Kraaifontein in the Western Cape, Kagiso in Gauteng, Honeydew Temba in Gauteng, Inanda in KwaZulu-Natal, Mpuleni in the Western Cape, Alexandra and Pretoria Central in Gauteng, places Laar and Durban Central in KwaZulu-Natal, Moroka, Mamelodi East and Jeppe in Gauteng, Witbank in Mpumalanga, Tembisa in Gauteng, Park Road in the Free State, Randfontein in Gauteng, Harare in the Western Cape, Eldorado Park in Gauteng, Rietgat in Gauteng. Man, sorry, I just need to get out of this. I can't see that last station. Was it Mpongeni? Okay. So those are the 30 stations that has been identified, and as I indicated, I believe the National Commission in concluding the input on the program will also comment on that. Then we are moving to still contributing to the reduction of serious crime. The next performance indicator that we will report on is the recovery of lost and illegal firearms. In the previous financial year, there was quite a significant number of illegal firearms, and the target that we set for the 2019-2020 financial year amounts to 5,404. Now, the recovery of illegal firearms that are stated here is based on that includes your police firearms. It's not only privately owned firearms. Now, looking at the reduction of SAT firearms that has been recovered, that in the previous financial or in the 17-18 financial year, we recovered 358 SAT owned firearms. The target was set to increase that to 10% to 142 in the current financial year. Now, when we report to the committee in September, you will note that we've actually done very well on the recovery of SAT's own firearms, because the targets that were initially set there was informed by the 2016-17 recovery, but we, in terms of the actual figures, we recovered in excess of 300 SAT's lost and stolen firearms. So that might also then influence the reporting and the actual numbers as we go report in future to the committee. The recovery of the next focus area is the recovery of stolen and robbed vehicles. Now, in the previous 2017-18 financial year, we recovered a total of 27,747 vehicles. Now, our estimated performance for the 18-19 financial year was to increase that to 36,548. And we will see that, Honourable Chair, that being reflected in the annual report that we will table soon, the figure that is reflected there, unfortunately, in this case, we did not achieve that specific target. Now, given that the intention was then to maintain the medium-term target of 36,548, that might be influenced by specific trends over the medium term. Escapes from police custody, this is a revised performance indicator, and our target is set that we want to reduce the number of incidents by with 2% per annum, and that equates in the first financial year to 769 detainees that escaped from police custody. The finalization of firearm licenses, the area, I assume the committee is aware of the fact that the South African Police Service is responsible to administer the firearm application processes, and the target that we set is that annually we want to ensure that 90% of all the new applications that we receive are being finalized within 90 working days. In the 2017-18 financial year, we managed to achieve 78%, and that is equal to 80,920 applications that were finalized within the prescribed time frame, relative to 103,000 applications that we processed. Oliver said, then we have three indicators that talks to police reaction time. You will note that there are three categories of crime: Alpha, Bravo, and Charlie. Alpha complaints includes incidents that are in progress. That means that the suspect is on the scene and we need to immediately respond. Now, the reaction time, Honourable Chair, that we see there, keep in mind that this is a national average. There are different reaction time targets for different police precincts. So you will find that the reaction time in an urban area with properly developed infrastructure is much lower than what you will find in a rural area where the South African Police Service has to travel longer distances. So in average, attending to the complaints, our target for the 2019-2020 financial year, as far as Alpha complaints is concerned, is to attend to it within 17 minutes and 37 seconds. Bravo complaints, I'm careful to use the word not as serious as Alpha complaints, but it's where a crime has been committed, but the suspect is no longer on the scene. So the suspect has left the scene, so it's in that context, it's less serious than an Alpha complaint where you still have the suspect on the scene. Now, the target that we set there is that we have to respond to that within 21 minutes and 28 seconds. And then the last one, the average police reaction time to Charlie complaints. Charlie complaints, Honourable Chair, that is your third category, and it includes incidents where there was an attempted crime and the suspect is no longer on the scene. For instance, somebody tried to break into your house, they just damaged the window and then they left, so they are no longer there. And the target, as far as that is concerned, is set at 19 minutes and 13 seconds. The targets that are set here, Honourable Chair, as far as the overall or the national average is concerned, is based on an analysis of all incidents that are recorded on an annual basis. And the number of complaints that the South African Police Service attend to per annum is quite significant. I do not want to quote the number here because I do not have the number with me, but it's really, we're talking about a couple of million charges or complaints that we attend to on an annual basis. And that ranges from people that request police assistance, people that request, or accidents that we have to attend to your more serious complaints as it is reflected. Well, I would say then the percentage, the next indicators, talks to victim-friendly services. Maybe I must use this opportunity just to illustrate to you how the indicator links to the strategic direction. Yesterday, you would have noted that in the presentation that I've made, specifically in what was included in the SONA, the President highlighted the fact that we need to improve services to victims. It was specific reference to your more vulnerable groups. Now, that specific direction then cascades into the plan, and this is now, for instance, where you find an indicator where we commit to specific target in support of that strategic direction that we got. Now, our target is that 100% of police stations must be compliant with two of the three sets of criteria as far as the establishment of victim-friendly facilities are concerned. Now, Honourable Chair, for instance, here, the reason I'm mentioning it is I believe members of this committee will soon start visiting police stations and you might start looking for this victim-friendly facility that we are talking about. At some stations, we have a dedicated facility, where there's a room that is properly equipped. At other stations where there's a lack of accommodation, we have a facility at another, say for instance, in another building in the same town. So, but the direction that we got yesterday, Jane, if I'm correct, it was by the Deputy Minister, if I'm correct, that indicated to us we must start looking at having fully fledged victim-friendly facilities at or on-site at all our police stations. So that means, given that directive, that we must also look at the criteria, Honourable Chair, for the implementation of victim-friendly facilities. The next indicator talks to the implementation of our rural safety strategy. It's one of the strategies that the National Commissioner referred to. Approximately 885 It ranges, yeah, 883 police stations in the current financial year has been classified as either rural or rural-urban mix. Now, the rural safety strategy is focused on stations that are classified as rural or rural-urban mix. That means you have a town with surrounding farms. It excludes your urban areas, more specifically the metros, for instance, where that is excluded from the implementation of the rural safety strategy. Now, in the current financial year, we've targeted 865 police stations where we need to fully implement the rural safety strategy in terms of the set criteria. Now, when we're talking about the set criteria, it includes the total requirement that is associated with the implementation of the strategy. It includes the launching of regular operations to address crimes. It includes the compilation of a rural safety plan. It includes regular engagement with your farming communities, etc. Then, Honourable Chair, the community outreach campaigns that have been conducted, and in the 17-18 the number of community outreach campaigns conducted, in the 17-18 financial year, we conducted 88 community campaigns. That included 24 national campaigns and 64 provincial campaigns. We targeted 65 in the 18-19 financial year. If I'm correct, that we will soon report on, we actually exceeded that target. And then in terms of the medium term is to keep on targeting 65 campaigns per annum. But Honourable Chair, it's also important to note that as we continue through the financial year, specific projects and specific problems might be identified that will necessitate the SAP to initiate specific community campaigns. Now, this is the, if we look at the 65, Honourable Chair, that we are targeting in the current financial year, quite a number of these strategies talks to vulnerable groups and the fact that we as the South African Police Service are encouraging communities to report these type of incidents. For instance, your crimes against women and children and your crimes against vulnerable groups. And that is why we indicated it's problematic that if on the one side you launch efforts to encourage people to report crime, but at the other on the other side, you also commit to reducing the crimes. As far as the school safety program is concerned, Honourable Chair, the South African Police Service, with the Department of Education, we are responsible for, or in cooperation with the Department of Education, we are responsible for the school safety program. If my memory serves me right, I think our National Commissioner referred to it yesterday as well. We target that 1,300 schools per annum. Now, this is cumulative. It means that it's increasing over a period of time. The initial target that was set when the program was initiated, that ultimately we have to end up with 50,000 schools where we have implemented the school safety program. The school safety program in itself entails, collaboration with schools that have been identified, establishing a mechanism to engage with the learners, the board of the school, the management of the school on matters that relate to crime. It also includes the launching and implementation of appropriate projects that has been identified at those schools that requires the intervention of the South African Police Service. We are required to have proper meetings at least as a minimum on a quarterly basis to engage on these matters and to report on progress as far as that is concerned. Honourable Chair, that is the visible policing portion. Then still within program, I'm now moving to border security and specialized interventions. This is generally referred to as ORS, Operational Response Services, in the South African Police Service, as I illustrated on the structure yesterday. The first portion on slide 108 talks to the crime-related hits that the South African police service need to react to. What is meant with this, and I believe the divisional or the acting divisional commissioner can also elaborate on this, the commitment is that if a potential hit is identified on the movement control system or the enhanced movement control system, that we need to respond to those hits. Now, the if I may give an example of what happens if I cross a border post and I'm a wanted person and a warrant has been issued for my arrest, the system will warn them that it's a potential, you know, I'm a potential wanted person, and the intention is that we need to respond to all these hits. In the 2017-18 financial year, we responded to a total of 6,540 hits. Now, we cannot quantify this number, you know, we cannot give a concrete number in terms of the number that we want to react to, because it all depends on the specific threat in the financial year, and, for instance, the number of people that cross the borders. The intention is that all identified hits must be responded to. Moving to the profiled vehicles, containers, and cargo consignment that has been searched for illicit drugs, firearms, stolen and robbed vehicles, smuggled person and counterfeit goods and contraband. The target and the responsibility of SAPS is as far as all profiled vehicles and containers are concerned, that 100% of the ones that we profile, we do search them in terms of drugs, firearms, vehicles, consignment, smuggled person, and counterfeit goods or contraband. In terms of the total category, in the previous, in the 2017-18 financial year, a total number of 21,425 profiled matters were attended to by the South African Police Service. As far as crowd management is concerned, Honourable Chair, we responded to a total of 14,393 incidents in the 2017-18 financial year, and for the medium term, we target 100%. So all incidents where crowd management is required by the South African Police Service will be responded to by the South African Police Service, more specifically the dedicated capability that we have for that purpose. If we're talking to high-risk incidents, and on the check here we are referring to our specialized capabilities, that includes your special task force, and I will get to in the following slide, I will break them down in detail. Our specialized capabilities responded to a total of 2,629 incidents in the 2017-18 financial year. And our target is that we keep on responding to all incidents, 100% of the identified incidents as they are identified over the medium term. Then as far as the protection of valuable and dangerous government cargo is concerned, if we look at the responsibility of ORS to provide the necessary protection in terms of the cargo that has been classified accordingly, in the 2017-18 financial year, the South African Police Service provided protection to a total of 206 cargoes without any security breaches. Over the medium term, the target is set that we continue with that trend and do not have incidents as far as the protection of dangerous and valuable cargo is concerned. Going into the little into the detail, Honourable Chair, you will note that the previous target was the aggregated commitment, and now we are just breaking it down into detail. The movement control system and the enhanced movement control system, we're talking about, and I just want to highlight here, there's two categories that we focus on. It's wanted the screening of wanted persons that crosses the borders or the entry access points to the country. In 2017-18, we did a screening of a total of 2,879 wanted persons. And as I indicated, the intention is that over the medium term that we respond to all hits on the specific system. The second subcategory talks to the screening of stolen and robbed vehicles. In the 17-18 financial year, we responded to 3,661 vehicles that have been circulated that either robbed or stolen at both points of entry, and the intention is to keep that at 100% over the medium term. As far as profiling is concerned, there's three categories. There's vehicles, there's containers, and there's cargo. In the 17-18 financial year, we profiled and searched a total of 10,587 vehicles. The planned target is to maintain that level of performance at 100%. That means that we search all vehicles that have been profiled for this purpose. The same applies to containers. In the previous 17-18 financial year, we profiled and searched a total of 7,317. The planned target is to maintain that over the medium term, ensuring that all profiled containers are searched as we planned, as we indicated in the planning. Cargo, in the 17-18 financial year, a total of 3,521 cargo that has been profiled and searched, and the commitment is to maintain that level of performance at 100% over the medium term. The National Intervention Unit and the Special Task Force, Honorable Chair, this is how the SAPS responds to your medium to high risk incidents, like for instance your hostage situations. They are also used in terms of your cash in transit, response to cash in transit, etc. So this is a very specialized competency. The National Intervention Unit in the 17-18 financial year responded to 2,407 incidents. And our planned target is that over the medium term, as again, that this level of performance be maintained and that the NIU respond to all requests that qualifies in terms of the medium and high risk assistance that is required. The Special Task Force responded to 222 incidents in 17-18, and as the commitment is concerned, we will maintain 100% response. That means all incidents referred to the Special Task Force and will be responded to in terms of the set criteria. Crowd management, there are two categories. We have what we classify as peaceful crowd management incidents and unrest crowd management incidents. Looking at peaceful crowd incidents, in the 17-18 financial year, the SAPS responded to 10,853 incidents. So all incidents of peaceful crowd management that were identified that required intervention from the South African Police Service in terms of crowd management were responded to. And the target is that we continue with the trend and ensure that going forward, we, as the SAPS, respond to all identified incidents where peaceful crowd management-related intervention is required. Looking at unrest crowd management, there were 3,540 incidents in the 17-18 financial year, and the intention is to maintain our level of performance at 100%. Honorable Chair, that is... That concludes Program 2. Those are the indicators and specific areas that have been identified for the purpose of reporting to the oversight bodies as well as the targets associated with that. Keeping in mind, Honorable Chair, that we indicated that there might be, or actually there will be, a restatement of some of the levels of performance depending or as a result of the direction that we got from the Minister and the President. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, General Kutole and your team. Honorable members, I have made the following observation, and I would like your wise counsel on this. That a number of the questions which we have are overlapping, that a number of the questions on Program 2 you've already asked yesterday. I'm asking the General if we could continue with the presentation on Program 3. That you take I'll take your response, please, that you take a brief break. We continue with presentation and then we take the question. I put it to Ralph.
Chairperson, respectfully, it would be appreciated while the new information that has been presented raises immediate questions, that if we can deal with at least one round of questions to deal with the presentation that's been made. And I've certainly noted that you are directing us away from yesterday's presentation. I will not raise questions related to yesterday's presentation. Anything outstanding, I will personally put in writing. Office, but for this presentation, I think it would be useful for us just to engage briefly on some of the new information that has been raised. Thank you.
You don't want to take it to program 2 and program 3, you don't want the question to give. Am I getting the sense that the same is back from Honorable Blanche?
Chairperson, yes, I support that. Really, I'm feeling that we are allowed to finalize this part. Reason being, Chairperson, we have quite a few questions again, and otherwise we're going to really exhaust the Commissioner and his team. I think, it will be helpful if we just deal with this, and that is my plea, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honourable members, we'll take the first round of questions, and then we'll take the plea before you respond. I'm taking hands now. Could I start with Honourable Member Peacock, then Honourable Member Bopoki, then Patrain, then Mafanya, then Majozi, then Whitfield, and then De Blanche. Molekwa. When I say Patrain, I mean Molekwa. Do you have the number? You may start. Oh, no, sorry, it's Shane Bailey.
Okay, thank you, Cash. Mine would be reflecting on yesterday, on information communication technology. My question was relating to the feature that the department is using in terms of their technology system within the department. I know it's an operational question, but I want it to be noted. We are dealing with the fourth industrial revolution. Looking at that, how far are you and ready in terms of that? I know it's an operational question. Then the president said that we should focus on creating decent jobs. When you look at the system itself, it's an outsourced system. It's not an insourced system. And how about looking at insourcing that system? The department established an IT department and absorb the system so that you have that monitored as a department, making sure that even the confidentiality of your system is secured as a department, and of which it won't be compromised at the end. Then the second question for today now is when you look at the community report crime. It was indicated that on the rural areas there's a problem in terms of establishing the CPF. And it was indicated that it's mostly been clubbed with the rural and rural something. How it was explained. But then I was coming with a proposal. What if, because there is a community, that even though it's not that much populated. How about deciding to establish sub-regional or zonal structure of CPF, referring also to and looking at your maybe you'll also be guided by your establishment guidelines to see to it that you accommodate also those zonal areas so that they are looked into as a zonal. Because now if you club it as a farm and whereas it's not having that challenge of in a, of a farm approach, then at least it will be looked as a zonal approach in terms of looking at the crime. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, Honorable Member Mafanya has joined us again. Your hand was also up, I'm sure. You okay? Okay. Could we then just go straight down, Honorable Member Majosi, and then from there, Shandini.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think my question, my first question will go on slide, on program two. First slide. I heard that they spoke of stakeholders. So I wanted to check which are those stakeholders, because on the graph they shown here, it was not stating on which stakeholders they are speaking of. And in those stakeholders, are any government departments involved? I'm speaking this because of there was a request from that the committee should also maybe help in terms of reaching these crimes and helping them with the community, how then the relations go about. So we want to know of any departments that are there, that they are working with them. Because I know one of the stations that I mentioned here, Moroka, is one of my stations. And I stay in Soweto. And I've never seen any programs that are done by the police themselves. It's either we will call them and maybe have a joint programs that we would run with young people in terms of development and such. So I would like to know on those stakeholders that you've been speaking of. In terms of the reduction of serious crimes, I see here, my problem is one, Chairperson, we live in these communities and we see police every time. But what type of induction or workshop do they have in terms of patriotism? Because it starts there. Immediately, the community cannot be able to help the police if there is no level of patriotism that is coming from the police, because then they will have to show a devotion of they are working for the South Africa, they are working for the love of their country. So immediately that happens in the communities, then the communities will be able to draw to the police so that they will be able to report of other cases, because the fear that is in the communities is that if they report cases of drug dealers that are in the communities, of crimes that are happening in the communities, then they get reported as well. And they fear for their lives. Because now they have to protect themselves first before they even start protecting the community itself. So how, what types of inductions and workshops do you have of patriotism so that you start with yourselves first in the police station? Because that's where it starts. It must start with yourself to conduct this patriotism so that you know that all the police that are out there, they are doing it for the love of their country. That is what I want to know, if you do have programs of such. And of the budget that was tabled today of border security, the 2.1 billion that was mentioned today. We know that many incidents of drugs are being brought to South Africa from abroad. So I'm not sure if maybe the allocation isn't enough to make sure that we deal with these high crimes that are happening, and to make sure that we also deal with human trafficking. And I wanted to check, they spoke of the detection at the borders. If you are a criminal that is wanted from South Africa whenever you cross, what detection is it? Because when you cross the border, do they detect everyone that is in that transport, or what is happening? Like, I want to understand what sort of detection do you use in terms of those criminals that would be wanted at that time. And also, the victim friendly service, I'm happy about Chairperson, that you'll be establishing side offices inside the police stations so that people can be able to speak out. It's worse to even tell your family that you have been raped by your father, because you do not know whether they believe you or not. It's even worse when you go to a police station where there is no office of a victim friendly service, when you have to speak up at a foyer where everyone is there and say, I have been raped. So I think now that we are bringing that about, can maybe the process be as quickly as possible, because of these rapes, there are many rapes that are not brought to the police station because people are afraid of the stigma and also of the police. How do they handle these cases? Because that is also another problem of police being able to handle these cases. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member Shembeni.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just quickly wanted to go to the effective border policy management. Now, my question is, because now we've got the higher rate of these drugs abuse in South Africa and the like. Now, I want to quickly find out the searching of the containers and the cargo assignment in the border. What is it that is used to search those containers? Do we have scanners in those borders, especially those border vendors? Or do we have full-time canines? Or is there any CCTV cameras to help us? That's what I want to quickly find out. And in the case of a wanted suspect, do we have anything like Morpho Touch to check fingerprints on those people crossing the border every now and then, or what? Or they just cross, or what is happening? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member Morpho.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. I want to check on the last question of yesterday that I asked about the fingerprints, but are you looking forward to improving technology to have the biometrics? And I think the question is not answered, and my colleague at the first question was even saying that, are you considering the fourth industrial revolution? That is very important, and the police must go the same way. On the new questions of today, on the slide 94, I can see that you are in reported crimes against women. It was 177 million, and also look at the 43 million that is of the children. And one is asking herself that you are talking about the victim-friendly services, and you are looking at the police station that 1,115 is correct. And you ask yourself that with a 45 million budget, are you going to be able to have them in each and every police station? And you must remember that this is one part that you failed as police officers. And I'm saying this coming from the background in Gauteng, in the community policy, in the community life and portfolio committee as a chair. So
I really want to you to tell me what are you going to be doing. Because one of the obstacles is that you don't have trained officers. You find people that are actually frustrated themselves or abusers as police officers at their homes by dealing with this matter, because I don't think you have a proper screening in that. And I'm saying that I'm challenging you in this. And why I'm challenging you in this, because I know you used to have a very effective women's forum as police officers. And they were actually on your campaign working with women formation, where we'll meet in August month and other times to can get information on what is happening and how we can work together. I want to know, how do you capacitate them? Because as women police officers, they'll be able to can listen and care even much better into the issue. But if the very same body of women, you don't actually do anything about it, then there's nothing that will come out of the good of women that are there. On the issue of the police station, I want to know that on the 115 police stations you are mentioning, are you also counting the satellite police stations? And I don't think you count Oliver Lou Bosch in Khani as a police station. For me, the satellite. So I want to know where does it fall. And then on the police station that you are talking about, the high crime weight stations, is Sunnyside not one of them? I'm asking this because as I said, I'm from Gauteng, because I know it used to be one of those priorities. Rishat, I can see that it's going down towards a social group, but that is one thing that you really need to be clarified on there. On the stolen and illegal firearms, let us not even go there, because we did explain, I think, the owned and fire, those that were recovered. And the explanation is actually something that one will accept generally, especially that those that some of them have been filed, the numbers and all that, it's difficult for one to can trace, because if somebody wants to commit crime, they'll do anything to can get on it. I want to know on the slide number 104, on the applications of firearms, I can see that you have a big number there, 80,000 is it per annum. And you ask yourself that if we have so many people applying for the firearms, can't you have a target change per annum and say that this is what we are going to be taking? Because we don't even know whether they land in good hands. Because most of them, if we can say, let us go and check what kind of people when we go to Epic or go to Color, who applies for this, then it will tell you a story. That is my suggestion, because there are too many, and I think the children are taking them to school. You know of many children that actually will lose their firearms of their parents because they are not taken care of. I want to know how many also, I didn't see anywhere where you wrote about the firearms that have been handed over from communities. I know I always get the information that they are going to be destroyed, but we don't know how many on there. And I think, Chair, I will just finish there. No, the last one is on the school safety. On the school safety, Chairperson, yesterday we spoke about the responsibilities of police officers into schools. Then the question goes to the question that I ask about the Metro Police. Can't you ask them to be part of that policy? Because we know what the Metro Police are doing. They are doing nothing, sitting under the tree, opening their boots the whole day, at a stop, one stop that you don't understand all the time. And generally, you go to Pretoria West, ask me, go that side of ISCO, you'll see a miracle. I can tell you all the corners in time. Can't you give them work and do something about it, because policing is very important. Thank you.
Honourable Member, could we come back to Honourable Member Mapasia?
I've got only one question, Chair, regarding the case of the JD. And it seems as if it is in prison. and sometimes there's a dangerous, prisoner that are escaping. And I'm not sure how is the security plan on transporting and also when they are in court. For me, really, it does not make sense for a detainee or a prisoner to escape in court or in police station. Either there's inside job or it might be negligence. I'm not sure you'll assist me. Sometimes I know that's the responsibility of the the correctional services. Sometimes they call the correctional services. But at what level do they escape? Because when you're in court, you're protected by the police. And they stand next to you there that you can't escape. So if you see the serious criminal escaping, it becomes a problem. Just want to know whether do you have plans of reducing that or eradicating it.
Thank you, Honorable Member Molepo. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also start by thanking the presentation, because it was very informative. Information that we have not before. My question will be based on the issues of qualification. I want to know the criteria on which the department is using for providing the community, especially in the rural areas, with qualification. I want to give you an example of the area, the rural area of Morosile, which is having plus minus 80,000 population, but it is only having only two small police stations, which is Bagwan and Matapangsa. Hence, the Temba police station is also appearing as a high crime rate police station, because the Temba police station is also catering more than one province. The Northwest province is part of police station of Temba. And Morosile also are reporting their issues in, at Temba police station and other provinces like Wombat, Limpopo, because of the nearest one. So, very serious. Hence, the police station of Temba is part of the high rate because of most of the cases are being reported at Temba police station. So I want to suggest maybe the department can also look into the possibilities of deploying mobile services in the areas where there are no police stations, because the crime rate is very high, especially in the rural areas, and we don't notice it because of we don't have police stations. The second question, the person, is based on the community outreach program. I want to know to what extent that this community outreach program reach the targeted people. We should not have that outreach program having other KPI. But it's important to have this outreach program to have an impact on the affected victims. I think Honorable Member Mukeng has already indicated on the issue of women's forums. I think if we do this outreach program, we should categorize which categories we want to make sure that they get the information. Sometimes we might have a targeted people, like maybe convening an outreach program to have women, so that we educate them with their rights, especially on the reporting of the cases of domestic violence and rape. Because some women are staying there, they don't have a knowledge, or they are shy to go to police station
because of the, some of the treatment they received in police stations in reporting the domestic violence and crime. So this outreach program will be very important when we can continue to do that at targeted group so that they can get an information. Also on the children abuse, it is also very important to make sure that this outreach program also look into that so that we also educate our children on how to report the crime. I attended one, I still remember I attended one this outreach program at Jubilee Mall, but it was not well coordinated. At that time I was still a cancer. So I think we should put more effort in making sure that we include all stakeholders when we do this outreach program so that it is well attended and the information is well spread to the targeted people that we want them to have the information. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Member Moleka. Honorable Member Tertrach. I said we should come around.
Chairperson, thank you. Let me also start by thanking Mr. Sotoli and his team. You know, I think it was an impressive presentation. But, Chairperson, I think the police has got a problem with the rollout of the plans to ground level. Chairperson, over the last while, what I did when I heard that I'm going to be part of this committee, I stopped, you know, and spoke to police men and women on the ground. And, you know, to be quite honest, they don't know about these plans. They don't even know if you ask them what is the operational plan of the police, they just don't know. Chairperson, so I really think that is something that they need to pursue. Chairperson, my first question is, at police station level, what if any, the station commander has over the spending on his or her budget, what sort of maneuverability do they have? Because or are they waiting now for just, you know, funding to be, you know, approved from national level? What maneuverability do they have? Chairperson, then the contact time and the response time. The major complaint against the police is exactly this. If you go to ground level again, people are saying that the police are not responding. And really, I think that is something that needs urgent attention. The second thing, Chairperson, is if you, I don't know when last, and I'm asking a question in the air, when last was it necessary for you, as the police, to be, you know, a client of the police? I went to a police station twice very recently for minor things. You know, they needed to sign an affidavit and things like that. And really the experience that you get there, a police station, quite often it's a very unfriendly place. Quite often it's a very filthy place. And really, I think that is something that we need to attend to. Chairperson, sector policing. We have heard that sector policing is sort of 100% just about. I don't think that is a correct statement. Chairperson, it was rolled out, you know, for over a decade or so. I don't know exactly the time when it started. If you go visit the police station, they don't, quite often you find that they don't have sector policing in place anymore. And the very reason is that they don't have enough human and, you know, physical resources, especially vehicles. So I'm not exactly sure about that statement, Commissioner Sipoli. I think that is something that we need to jack up and make sure that, you know, it's still there. Chairperson, then, you know, the estimates of the performance. You know, is the best that we can do 1% and 2%? I don't think the public will be very happy with that performance that we put you know, we really plan to only reduce the specific crime with 1 or 2% ban. I'm not exactly sure that that is acceptable. Chairperson, then coming to the list of high crime weight stations, I do understand where the police is coming from. Obviously, if they can impact on this police station, managing police stations, managing the crime patterns down, will obviously reflect positively on their outcomes, the results. But chairperson, the person staying in that small little police station area is just as, you know, in terms of the constitution, he's entitled to receive the very same service. You know, in section 12 of the constitution, and you know, we cannot, you know, the person that has got a family member murdered or whatever, we cannot forget them. So we really need to focus on that. Chairperson and folk is, you know, touching on that. I'm asking you, and I think I know. Chairperson, the police, do we have an approved, you know, rural safety plan in place? My statement is, Chairperson, no, we don't have. At the moment, it's still circulating at the provisional commissioner for approval, because obviously then we don't have that plan in place, and we are not operating in terms of that. And my question is, when are we going to have an approved rural safety plan, and when is the implementation date that we can, you know, impact on the crime levels on farms, rural areas, you know, people living in villages, that we can have some impact there. Chairperson, then coming back to the state-owned firearms, I forgot the name now, and I'm sure that General Huma will know. You know, we have heard that the numbers are being followed up. Yes, it's true. But the police embarked a very long time ago on a system where there's another way of marking. I just forgot the name. And I was told back then that was just about impossible to remove that. And I just want to know whether they still persist with that, and to what extent that this, you know, attributed to, you know, sort of manage this crime, this trend down. We cannot have a situation, chairperson, where the police, you know, are putting, you know, 800-something firearms in the hands of criminals annually. We cannot do that. So we really need to address that. I spoke about, you know, the response time. Chairperson, then the police station, you know, where, you know, the victim friendly centers. We have heard now that is a problem, and I just want to get some commitment or indication if they have it at the moment, chairperson. When are we going to finalize this issue now? You know, when each police station is going to have, you know, such a friendly system. Chairperson, then lastly, I think you are surprised that I'm as short as I am today. Chairperson, I know that wasn't touched on during the presentation, but I just want to know the findings of the Farlam Commission. I mean, that was way back. Can the police just give us an indication how far are they, you know, with the compliance of that findings implementation, which, you know, thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you very much. I am not expecting and assuming anything.
No,
I know, but I'm giving you all the time in the world. Honorable Member Weston.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will be as brief as possible. Firstly, thank you very much for the presentation, and I particularly want to at the outset welcome the Commissioner's admission that it's not SAPS alone that can fight crime. It's a complex issue, both on the prevention and the combat of crime. And I think, Chairperson, you will be receiving an appeal from me in committees going forward relating to the what appeared to be a request from the Commissioner, which is more cooperation amongst the departments. And this committee can ensure that we adopt an integrated approach by scheduling regular joint committees of the security cluster in particular, and where necessary, invite departments of social development, health, and any other departments, such as transport, for example, that may have may serve a purpose of creating more integration amongst the departments at this level, and then hopefully that will filter through into the execution of outcomes from this committee. Chair, I don't want to take us back to yesterday. I do, however, want to just make reference that there are obviously two indicators related to stolen firearms, different figures, different metrics measuring different things. What is just concerning or confusing, perhaps it just requires some explanation from the presenter, is that the number of identifiable stolen lost SAPS firearms recovered, those are the firearms that were identified as SAPS firearms. So of the 18,500, it could have been many more SAPS firearms. We don't know how many were not reported that are still in the field or recovered and unable to be identified. Now, the 358 SAPS owned firearms were recovered. In the same year, if we go to the previous report, 800 were reported stolen. Are we able to align the ones that were recovered to the ones that were stolen and to reduce any gaps in reporting on that? And then the increase, if I could just get an explanation, in the 2018-19 estimated performance, it is targeted to increase by 10% to 142. How do you increase to 142 from 358? And 10% of 358 is not 142. So if I could just get an explanation on the number and the calculation related to that indicator. A very straightforward question, when will the committee receive the amendments? Obviously those amendments, we understand, speak to the commitment made in the State of the Nation address, and this committee and the police will hear from me regularly about impacts. And my question yesterday was not satisfactorily answered, so I will continue to interrogate the structure of these indicators, because this committee, this is the tool for this committee to hold the department accountable. Now, we are going to be looking at impact, inputs, outcomes, and impacts. And I'm afraid that by far the majority, many of the indicators don't necessarily deal with impact. And that may be difficult, maybe some of the issues are confidential, and we can't go into too much detail, but I do want to stress the point that it becomes very important to measure impact. Specifically, Chair, on the last slide of the first section of the presentation, when it comes to rural safety. So in the entire report from yesterday to today, the only mention to rural safety is the indicator measuring the implementation of set criteria of the four pillars of the rural safety strategy. Now, that measures an outcome. It does not measure an impact. There is no baseline that indicates what the number of serious crimes or violent crimes committed in those, what are considered to be those rural precincts, and then it doesn't allow this committee to interrogate whether that strategy has had an impact in reducing crime. Now, if the committee is to do its job in holding staff to the department and the minister accountable, we need to have that level of detail unpacked, and perhaps this is not the document for it. I would argue that it should be, and perhaps going forward in future financial years, it will be incorporated. The question regarding the top 30 stations and the reallocation of resources, because I would presume that if you want to reduce incidents of crime, you would need to look at the distribution of resources to those stations. If I missed that in the presentation, I apologize, but I would like to know what the immediate steps will be taken to resource those top 30 stations in order to reduce crime and therefore have an impact related to that allocation of resources. Page 105, reaction time. The reaction time is getting longer going forward over the medium term, not shorter. I don't know if that was raised, but I would like to understand it then becomes very easy for us to regress rather than improve. And then just generally when an example of this particular issue, and I know that these may be technical questions related to the structure of the KPIs or the annual performance targets, but you cannot set targets surely, and maybe in certain instances there have been arguments to say that you can. You can't set a target less than what was achieved or or substantially less than what was set the previous year. So if you want to go from outreach to achieve 85 in the current year, and then you want to go to 65, it becomes very easy for that division or department to come out with a platinum award, Commissioner, at your awards evening, because they will far exceed their target. And we just need to understand why that is the case, and to monitor that, and to make sure that we don't set targets that will lead to a regression in performance. And it could be a resourcing issue, and we know that there are limitations, those have been discussed, but I would just argue that some very careful thought needs to go into, and I'm very pleased to see new indicators, Chairperson. There are some very progressive new indicators in the annual performance plan. Those addendums, I've raised that question, the committee would need to see those. We debate all these matters next week, Thursday, and it would be great if we could see them before then. And then obviously going forward, we need to please take careful attention to the structure of the targets, so that they are focused on not just outcomes, but impact in terms of achieving the President's objective of reducing life and time by half within 10 years.
Yes, thank you very much, Honourable Wakil. That is exactly the kind of question which I have in mind, or questions which I don't feel have been adequately addressed, the achievement of the performance indicators, and could you explain if there were any material findings on those performance indicators in terms of the Auditor General's report? I'm not going to say that we are new performance indicators, because we've done the rest already. My concern is that you seem to have a proactive role. You do not have a proactive role in your policing, and that your presentation indicates to me that you're more active in nature. Is this correct, and how do you go from a reactive police force to a proactive police force? Could you please check slide 111? You speak of 206 cargo. Is that number correct? I thought that it would be much higher, considering that I don't know if it's correct. It's just in slide 111. Could we just take a comfort break before the responses are given? Thank you. There's coffee and tea available. We'll be back in 10 minutes time. Thank you.